So this retreat is now just a little bit over halfway through. And some of you will probably think, whoa, already? It's going very quickly. And some of you will probably be thinking, oh no, only halfway. So although for some of you it may seem like it's been a long time and there's still a long time to go, by retreat standards, this is a short retreat. And normally we like to have retreats at least a week and preferably 10 days or longer. And one of the reasons for this is that with the instructions, just to give basic instructions and to try and communicate a basic understanding of the meditation practice and of the Dharma takes time. It takes time to communicate it all in a way that it can all be absorbed and in a way that it can all be integrated into the actual practice so that it's not just words and just ideas. And so because of the condensed time, because we have a shorter retreat, I find that I'm having to do more talking in the instruction periods than I would normally do and that I like to do. So there's a little bit less quiet time in the instruction periods. So I'm trying to really give you an opportunity to get the range of instructions, of the major instructions, and to get a sense of how it applies, not just in the formal practice in retreat, but also in our daily lives, which is very important and which really is the purpose of the practice. So this morning I think there will be a lot of talking. So being halfway through the retreat, the halfway point in a retreat is often a good time to kind of review and renew the supports and the structures and the agreements for working in the retreat situation. And so I'd just like to briefly review these agreements again. And of course, we started with, Peggy gave a talk in the opening evening about the five precepts. And so using these as supports for the practice, as well as for being with each other here, being in this situation. And with this, important to always remember that the practice, the meditation practice, is not just some selfish thing that we do for ourselves in order to make ourselves feel better. But the practice is for the well-being of one and all. And so when we're practicing, when we're doing our meditation, it's not just for ourselves, but for everyone, for the benefit of everyone. And the five precepts can really serve as a tool, as a form to highlight this. And so the precepts very much have to do with our relationship to other people, as well as to ourselves. And so the first precept, just to briefly review them, the first is to not intentionally cause harm or suffering to any living being. So really being aware of the effect of all of our actions and words on others. And the second is to speak truthfully with others and with ourselves. And the third is that out of respect for others and in order to give space to others and to give each other the opportunity, to give others the opportunity, partners, or whoever, if we've come with someone or if we know someone. So out of respect for others, on retreats, we practice the abstaining from all sexual activity. And the general precept for daily life is not necessarily abstention, but being mindful of sexual activity, being mindful of the interaction with the partner, and being mindful of the motivation, the intention, the process, and the whole process of sexual activity. And the fourth is not taking anything which is not freely given to us, not freely offered to us. So not stealing, being aware of our relationship to objects and the impact, the effect that that can have on other people. And the fifth one is not using substances or substances which affect the mindfulness. So the practice here is mindfulness. And what we want to be mindful of is what's happening in our lives, what's actually happening in our lives. And the reason for this mindfulness, as I mentioned, is for insight. And insight into our true nature, insight into the true nature of who we are, not the nature of who we are that's being altered and affected and changed by substances, but our true nature. And with regard to this, of course, there are the obvious substances of drugs and of alcohol, and we've already mentioned tobacco, and I could also mention caffeine. Certainly those who drink a lot of coffee know that if you stop, you feel effects. And the reason for feeling those effects is because the body-mind has developed a dependency. And the meditation is for liberation. It's for freedom. And so meditation requires looking into where our dependencies are. On a slightly more, perhaps could say a slightly more subtle level, but it's really not so subtle, I've noticed here that the lunches are so delicious. I find that I've been eating more than I actually need. And so the effect of that is the afternoon has considerably more dullness and tiredness. So the first part of the afternoon after lunch. So I can see that even food, as delicious as it is, or maybe because it's so delicious, but the excess has effects which affect the mindfulness. So really giving attention in our lives, during the retreat and in our daily lives, of the effect on our body-mind of substances that we're ingesting. So the five precepts as a support for the practice and as a support for inquiring into and noticing and understanding our relationship to others as well as to ourselves. And then the other major support that we have on the retreat is the silence. And it can be helpful just to have a review and to take a renewal of the agreement and the commitment to the silence. And of course, the silence meaning obviously not speaking, except when necessary with the teachers. And the silence also, in the opening talk, I spoke of the inner silence and the outer silence. And of course, the two are very much connected, very much connected. And so maybe even connected with the first precept of not intentionally causing harm or suffering or anguish or whatever to others. So being aware, again, of the effect of our actions on others. So moving in and out of the meditation hall, if we're making a lot of noise, and the disturbance of the silence, it's affecting others. So really being conscious of that effect, really being conscious of where we're creating sounds and creating noise, which may be a disturbance for others. And so in terms of the practice, this may require a little bit of slowing down, which aside from the noise factor is not a bad thing at all. And slowing down, in the slowing down, we can come more and more into just being in the present. We spend so much of our lives in doing, in being active, being involved, being busy, just doing, doing, doing. And here's an opportunity to really stop doing. And stopping doing doesn't require a lot of struggle and effort and striving and trying and working hard. The stopping doing is relaxing. It's So here's an opportunity, just relax. We don't have to be tense and agitated and trying to get it just right and trying to figure out things and trying to understand. Just to relax and just to let ourselves just be. To give ourselves that real gift of just being. And we call ourselves human beings, not human doings. So here's an opportunity to really practice, really be a human being. And in that beingness, in that relaxing, allowing ourselves to just relax and to just be, there's so much possibility and so much for potential for something completely different and new to reveal itself. So really being conscious of our movement and seeing that in the context of the practice and the value of that in the practice for ourselves, and also seeing it in the context of how it affects others. And with that, with the silence and the support and in giving this kind of support to others, also giving space to others. So not seeking out contact, really being conscious of when we're seeking out contact with others, when we're looking for that contact. And if we can notice that, just to be, and just to allow ourselves and to allow others to have that space, and to have this wonderful opportunity to really just be who we are. So we have the five precepts and we have the silence as real supports for the deepening of the practice, the deepening of the meditation. And in the deepening of the meditation, using the mindfulness and using the real interest in what's happening, a real interest in discovering who I am in this moment. And with that combination of the meditation, the mindfulness, and the interest, and that sense of inquiry, that sense of wanting to understand, wanting to know, wanting to really get to the bottom of who I really am. But doing that in a way that it's not under pressure, it's with relaxing, with being, just being. And in that seeing what understanding can be revealed. So in the meditation today, we will continue using the experience of body breathing as the main object for the attention, the main object for mindfulness. And I've given lots of instructions for this, so I'm not going to talk more about the mindfulness of breathing, but remembering just using the breath experience as a center, as a balance, as a home to rest in. And this is a real opportunity to just be present with the body, just sitting and just breathing. Not trying to get anything, not trying to achieve anything, not looking for any special experiences or any special states, but just to be with the experience of the breath, entering the body, leaving the body. And as I've mentioned, of course, the attention does leave the breath. And it does go to other objects. And so being aware of this and noticing it and seeing that this too is just a process. It's not that I'm making it happen or I'm doing it or I want it to happen. Things arise. And to just notice this happening and then come back to rest with the breath. But we can perhaps today begin to give just a little bit more attention to sounds. So not looking for sounds or not trying to find them, not kind of sending the awareness out and thinking, oh, where's the sound? I've got to find a sound. But in the being mindful of the breathing and being mindful of the experience of breathing, if a sound comes, just allowing the awareness to rest with the sound, allowing the awareness to rest in the process of hearing. And then as the sound changes or as it fades away, then coming back to the breath. Just being present in this process. And sounds and giving attention to hearing can be a really wonderful tool for both samatha, the steadying, the steadiness, the calmness, and vipassana, and insight. So being present with a sound can be at times, of course, and I'll talk about this, of course, it depends on the sound, but sometimes being present with a sound can be soothing and can help to be settling. It can help to settle the mind. It gives us something to really kind of focus the attention on. And very often we find that we can take much interest in sound. Often sounds are much more interesting than the breath. And so we can give attention to a sound, and in that, the mindfulness can focus and can become quite steady. Sound and the process of hearing can also be very valuable for insight as well. And if we look at the process, and I'll describe this a little bit, but it's important to watch in your own experience and in your own practice and really come to understanding through your own experience. But what we can see happens with sound is that somewhere in the world, somewhere in the universe, something vibrates. And that vibration travels through the air and it hits the eardrum. Okay, so somebody strikes this, and this thing vibrates because it's being hit. And the vibration travels through the air and it hits my eardrum. And in that moment of hitting the eardrum, there's a consciousness. There's a knowing of the vibration, and there's a knowing of the sound. And that consciousness, that knowing of the sound, is what we call the process of hearing. With sounds, we can recognize quite easily, relatively easily, that this process of hearing is not because I've made it happen. It's not because I've chosen it, or I want it to happen, or don't want it to happen. It happens. The vibration hits the eardrum, and the hearing happens. So we can see that the process of hearing is not me. It's a process of life that's happening. And then the mind comes in and says, "Ah, I'm hearing." And we can see how that happens in stillness and silence, in paying attention. We can see relatively easily how this happens. The eardrum and the vibration come together, the consciousness appears. And in that consciousness is the hearing. And with that moment of consciousness arising, and in the traditional Buddhist language, this moment of coming together, and this is a fairly important point, this moment of coming together of the eardrum, the vibration, and the consciousness, the hearing, that moment of these three things coming together is called contact. A moment of contact. In that moment of contact, in that moment of hearing, a feeling arises. And again, important in the language of Buddhism, in the language of the Dharma, feeling in Western common language, common usage, when we talk about feeling, we mean a whole range of things. So often when we talk about feeling, we mean what we're talking about is our mind states, our emotions, things going on in the mind. But in important point, in the tradition of the Dharma, in the tradition of Buddhism, in the language of the Dharma, feeling has a much more simple meaning. And the easiest way to understand it is if somebody comes up to you and just says, "How do you feel?" The initial response is almost always, "I feel good," or "I feel bad." Okay? So that initial response, this is what's meant by feeling in the language of the Dharma. Feeling refers to the quality of pleasantness or unpleasantness. Or there can be a feeling of neutral, of neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And so in the process of hearing, we can see when the vibration strikes the eardrum and the process of hearing arises, in that hearing, there's a feeling. Either it's pleasant, or it's unpleasant, or it's neutral. Okay, so whenever we hear a sound, either it's, oh, that's a nice sound, that bell sounds so nice, but if they would just hit it just a little bit more softly, then it would sound nicer, it would sound better, and I would like it more, it would be more pleasant. Or, oh, that dog is barking again, oh, it's so unpleasant, it's so hard on my ear, I just don't like it at all. Okay, so it's unpleasant. Or a sound comes in and there's just no response to it at all, and just back to the breath and neutral. So whenever there's a hearing, there's one of these three feelings. And then if we start to pay attention to this process of hearing, we see that with the hearing there's the feeling, and then when the feeling is pleasant, we like it and want more of it. Want to keep it, want it to keep happening. If the feeling is unpleasant, we want to get rid of it. We want it to stop, to end, to go away. If it's neutral, we just tend to kind of ignore it. We just ignore it. And so based on the feeling, and remembering that this feeling has arisen, again, not because of me, not because I've made it happen, or I've chosen it, or I've wanted it. It's arisen as a part of a natural process of life. Feeling happens. And based on this feeling, the I comes in and we get desire and grasping. We get aversion, dislike, anger, aggression, based on the feeling. And in the language of the Dharma, when we speak of suffering or unsatisfactoriness, this is what we're referring to. The unsatisfactoriness that arises when we try to hold on to something that's pleasant. So a sound comes and it feels pleasant, and I think, oh, that's a really nice sound, I'd like to keep hearing that. Or, that piece of music is really nice, I want to hear it again. And then we can't hear it always. And if there's something that we really like and we try to keep it and try to hold on to it, it changes, and then we lose it, and then we suffer from it. We feel dissatisfaction. And so the grasping, the holding on, gives rise to dissatisfaction. And similarly, we can see in the aversion, in the pushing away, a sound comes that we really don't like, and we can sit here forever and ever and ever saying, go away, go away, go away. And as long as it doesn't go away, we're not very happy. So the unhappiness, the dissatisfaction, is not in the sound itself. It's in this wanting to keep it or wanting to get rid of it. Also, with the neutral sensations, there's an ignoring. And when we ignore things, when we ignore our life, when we don't pay attention, when we're not mindful, then we have problems. Just the other day, I was making a piece of toast, and I put my hand in the oven to turn the toast on over, not very mindful, a little burn. A couple of weeks before that, I was taking a step out walking, stepping over a fence, not very mindful, fractured my foot. So these moments of not being mindful, these moments of ignoring, can cause us problems. They're not pleasant. So these three conditions, the grasping, the holding on, the aversion, the pushing away, trying to avoid, trying to suppress, and the ignoring, these are what the Buddha identified as the causes of our suffering. And by paying attention to a simple thing as a sound, by paying attention, by really looking closely, inquiring closely into as simple, as ordinary, as basic a thing as hearing a sound, we can come to experience all of this. And we can come to know it so deeply and so clearly that it can change our lives in an instant. This is the power of mindfulness, the power of meditation. This same process, we can see this exact same process with body sensations. We can see when there's a pain in the body, there's something taking place in the body, there's some activity somewhere in the body, and that activity meets with the pain receptors of the brain. It meets with the brain, meets with awareness, and in that moment of coming together, there's the knowing of the sensation. There's the knowing that there's a sensation taking place, and this is the contact. And in that moment of contact, there's a feeling. Ah, it's unpleasant, it's pain. It's an unpleasant feeling, and then the mind comes in and says, pain, and then, I don't like it, I want to get rid of it, and then I move. Or I turn my attention somewhere else and try to ignore it. Or I try to just pretend it's going to go away. I just say, oh, it's just impermanent. It's going to go away. And just kind of, and just bear with it. So we can see this process happening, and we can see where the suffering with the sensation starts to happen. And so giving attention to this. So again, keeping the breath as the main object for the attention, but when some other sensation of the body comes, whether it be pleasant or unpleasant, giving a little bit of attention to it, being aware of this process, seeing that the sensation itself is just a sensation. It's just a vibration of the body or a contraction of the body. And with that contraction or with that vibration, there's a feeling of pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. And based on that feeling, we react. So really giving care and giving attention and coming to recognize for yourself this process, coming to understand this process. And in understanding this process, coming to understand the true nature of self. What is this self? What is this me that comes in and claims this process of hearing and says, oh, I'm doing it. What is this self that comes in and takes up this painful sensation and says, I'm in pain? Or what can I do to stop it? And coming to understand this process of life happening, coming to understand our true nature. And coming to understand this, there can be, and it's kind of a cause and an effect, because with the understanding comes a releasing. The more clearly we understand, the more we're able to just relax with it. And as we can relax more with it, then we find that we have more energy, we have more joy, we have more happiness, we have more openness, more peacefulness. And we also find that as we have more relaxing, more settling, more just being, more allowing, then the understanding comes. And so they too depend on each other. They come together. So giving attention and seeing where we're not relaxing, seeing when I'm getting uptight and I'm trying too hard or forcing too hard. This is the grasping mind, the mind of desire that I talked about a couple of days ago. And it's also the restless mind. So recognizing when these are present, recognizing when the mind of aversion is present, the mind is pushing away, rejecting, denying, suppressing, and just seeing if we can just relax. Nothing to do. Nothing to do. Just to relax. And in that relaxing and in that being mindful, being awake, finding peace and knowing happiness and joy. And all of this whole process is a process of really opening to ourselves. Opening to who we are in each moment. And this opening to who we are, and this allowing, this just being who we are without judgments, without criticisms, without praise, without blame. To be in this way, to live in this way, is to truly begin to love ourselves. As we begin to love ourselves and to embrace ourselves, whoever we are, then we can begin to love others as well. And all of this can be understood from one breath. All of this can be known from one sound, from one sensation of the body. So we just check the posture and bringing the attention to the breathing, body breathing, breathing happening. Using the breath as an anchor for the awareness, as a resting place. And giving somewhat more attention to other body sensations and to sounds. when the bell sounds, just really staying present in the hearing and waiting until the end of the bell before opening the eyes and moving. So this time now is for the walking meditation. And in the walking, if you're feeling reasonably, relatively centered and finding not too much distraction and not too difficult to bring the attention back to the feet and feeling the contact and the movement of the feet, then let the awareness expand to include more of the legs. Just allowing the awareness to expand through the legs, so feeling the whole movement of the legs as well as feeling the contact of the feet with the ground. And in doing that, if you find that it does contribute to more distraction or confusion or whatever, then just never mind, come back to the feet and come back to the contact with the earth. And in the practice through the day today, giving a little bit more attention to movement, to slowing down in times other than in the sitting and the walking. And yesterday in the guided sitting, I spoke about the transition between the in-breath and out-breath. And so we can give attention also to the kind of transition between the sitting and the walking, giving attention to the transition between the sitting or walking and the meal times. So we can notice in our lives through the day, even in retreat, we have these moments of transitions in our lives. And sometimes these moments can be very revealing and can really tell us a lot about ourselves. So giving attention in a way that there's more of a continuity of the mindfulness through the day. But also remembering to do it in a way that is somewhat relaxed and not forcing and stressful and aggressive. In India, the term that's commonly used, and those who have been to India will know it, is shanti. So being shanti with ourselves and being shanti with the world, shanti meaning peace, peacefulness. Okay, so this time is for walking meditation and small group and individual meetings.